forwarding around to the group the guidance that we got from the council after their meeting last week, which was that the primary person is there to represent the constituency and the views of the members of that constituency. But if there's anything of general knowledge or anything like Marilyn spoke last week about just something that the council had been talking about, and she represented that to the group, but didn't really offer any comments about the business constituency position, that kind of stuff is fine. And they've kind of left it to my discretion, so we'll just take it from there, and hopefully I'll do an okay job. And if I'm not, and anyone thinks it's unfair, then just let me know. I saw Milton had a note that he sent around, so I will be trying to do my best. And if anyone, like I said, if anyone thinks that or anyone feels that I'm not adhering to the rules or not doing a good job, just let me know. I have a pretty thick skin, so I think I could take it. The other administrative thing is I sent around just a note about some blogs and things. And like I said, I like reading the blogs because I, you know, people who write the blogs know I kind of respond when they post something and I agree or disagree. But just something with blogs is just to be careful, because other publications look at this stuff. And so to the extent possible, if it's your own viewpoint, then you should probably represent it as such. If it is a discussion that's going on in the task force, I have mixed opinions as to whether that should be reflected, but certainly I don't think we should be, we shouldn't be insinuating that the task force is leaning one way or the other until after it actually makes a decision, to the extent it even has the right to make any such decisions. But let's just be careful with any blog postings or any other messages about the work of the task force. And I'm not by any means saying that people shouldn't blog at all. I think it's a great thing that people do and helps to get feedback. But just make sure that the position of the task force is not incorrectly represented. So does anybody have any questions about that?
Are you referring to Wendy's thing?
I'm not going to use names here.
Well, if you are, then I noticed on there she asked for people to email her. I think it might be useful to, if she could tell us if she got any email, that could be a good outcome of her message. If she got any input that maybe we could use, can she pass it on to us?
That was what I was planning to do, and I'm sure you're aware that the folks at Circle ID make up their own headlines, and like journalists writing articles, I have to complain that I had nothing to do with the claim that ICANN is planning to close off Port 43 in their headline.
Right.
I was on my own blog, I do make clear that it's my personal opinion, and being provocative tends to get more of a response than simply making a bland report of some people think this and some people think that. So.
Have you got any emails so far?
Other than from me.
I've gotten a little bit of response to that and some other inquiries that I put out. I sent in Ben Edelman's response, and he's invited us to include him on any list of future questions that we have. Also gotten some other general responses that they're like the open source movement as a whole. There are lots of little researchers who are doing their own thing and who is from time to time will use it to check up on somebody who's sending them a lot of email or a lot of web hits and won't necessarily be captured by other entities not responding. But I'm not sure the best ways to reach those either.
Do you have the messages on your... I'm not aware that you have your own blog. Can you are the messages on there? Can you tell me a link to that so I can read them?
Well, nobody's stuck up comments on my blog. The blog is at wendy.seltzer.org.
Wendy, if you want to... you could always forward the message you sent, but let's actually, I don't mean to cut this off, but let's actually just jump into the agenda since we're starting to talk about the substance. Unless there's any other comments about blogging in general, hearing none, then let's just jump. I think Glenn has just passed around the minutes from the last meeting we had, and I know people may not have had a chance to read it, so everyone should probably read it at some point, and we'll probably, I guess, approve it at the next meeting. I think Paul, it's on the list. I think it should be on the list if you haven't gotten it already. So just going back, we have some deadlines that today is a deadline for two different things. And first I'll ask, Barbara, because Barbara actually wasn't on the call, so we kind of unfairly volunteered a date for her to get the materials in that we needed. And this is all the materials from past ICANN meetings, workshops, and the WHOIS survey results that may relate to the work that we're doing on this task force. So I guess I'll turn it over to Barbara because I haven't actually had a chance to talk to her. I know she's been incredibly busy with all these task forces. So do you have any kind of report for us?
Sure. I actually do have a little report. I'm going to be sending out the email today that has the links. It will include the link to the WHOIS task force, the prior WHOIS task force on accuracy and bulk access, their final report, which included all the survey results. And so that's probably the most authoritative point for that. And then there is a presentation that they made up as well that Marilyn forwarded to me, and so I can either find where we already have it on the ICANN website, because I'm sure it's actually already up there as part of one of the meetings, or I can arrange to have it put up in a separate section, so it's easier to find. Also, the going through the old DNSO webpage, I found a remarkably helpful page that lists all the prior task forces that dealt with WHOIS-related issues. And so that link pretty much covers everything that's been done within the DNSO or the GNSO to date. And so I'll include that link. Other than that, the only other significant link that I think we need to include is the work that was done in Montreal for the workshop, and again that's relatively easy to access. So.
Yeah, maybe the I don't remember if everyone from Montreal had submitted presentations. I know many did, but then there's also the transcript.
Yeah, there's the transcript and I believe one part of it was public broadcast, but I'm not 100% sure about that. I have to check the logs to see what we did there.
Okay.
And, yeah, not everybody did submit a presentation, so we don't have all the presentations, but the transcript should be available.
Yeah, I know my panel, I was on a panel, and that panel was actually just asked to respond to a bunch of questions and didn't really...
Yeah, not prepare anything ahead of time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if Paul was on a panel, right, Paul? But I'm not sure if it was my panel or it was another panel.
Yeah, I was on a panel.
Yeah. So transcripts would be really great for that. Okay, thanks, Barbara. And is there any other materials that we can think of that we're missing? I guess after you send around that link, and they'll give us a chance to look at it, and maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure that some of you who've been involved in this a lot longer than I, in terms of dealing with the WHOIS issue, will be able to recognize if there are gaps.
Okay. Any other questions for Barbara? Now those materials should be used for the second subgroup. To start the charts for the needs and justifications for John, Jeremy, David, and Wendy. So that's kind of the preliminary materials that you'll use to help do your chart. But going back to the 23rd, the other thing for today is the list of non-marketing groups. And some people have submitted some lists. We got a list from Jeremy that I forwarded on to the group, which probably just have in your email now, with a bunch of different groups that they know of that use WHOIS information for different functions. We need to add a couple to that. There's a bunch to add to this list too, but that's a good start of, and John, if you were to, or Jeremy, if you were to characterize these groups, would you say that they're all search firms or?
They're a mixture. I mean, there are some search firms up there, and then there are the kind of the websites that allow you to do your lookups, and then there's also kind of the hybrids, the Sam Spades of this world, which allow access through a website, but also through a downloadable client. So they're the ones that are, in a way, slightly more challenging in that you could have large number of users coming in using a client, but also through the Sam Spade website. So they're a bit of a mix and match. What we tried to do was cover those sites and services which we know are used or possibly could be used by kind of the IP side of things. And so to get them into the melting pot as well.
Okay. Now, I noticed this, we should probably include on this IP list Thompson & Thompson and those other types of search firms. I don't know if Core Search is still around. I used to do these searches so with Thompson & Thompson and Core Search, so we should probably add those to the list. And what I'll do is I'll combine all these links into one list and send that around after we get all the responses back. Then Wendy submitted an email with obviously Ben Edelman's response, and it was kind of it responded to some of the substance, but as far as the other groups, Wendy, was Ben able to identify other groups that he can think of specifically?
At the top of that message, he had listed the URLs of a few other people doing research, including the domain name usage. Some of those have information gleaned from the WHOIS data.
Okay, so that's like the Zooknik daily changes, which I think is name intelligence. SOTD is, I think, snap names. And registrar stats. I'm not sure who does that.
That's me.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. And then Paul actually submitted an email earlier, actually yesterday, which I had to forward to the group, which has a bunch of other names that he's able to think of. I think there may be some overlap as well.
And I've just browsed to the Google directory for domain name and name search that seems to list URLs of other. I'll forward this to the list. Others who are offering WHOIS aggregators.
Great. And then what about some other academic? Maybe Ben can help us with that too, or Wendy. Which is some academic institutions that are known to do this type of research? Because I want to make sure I want to make sure that we send out the notices to them too.
Jeff?
Yes.
You know, speaking from the academic world, I think the statement of Ben Edelman is very typical. In fact, there's a 40-year history, or maybe even a 50-year history, of academic researchers in the social sciences wanting to get their hands on as much data as easily as possible.
Mm-hmm.
For example, they were one of the key forces kind of trying to expand the census data to include all kinds of demographic things which were not really mandated by the constitutional requirement for a census. I'm not sure what the point is of enumerating all of these groups in such great detail. It seems to me that we have people who want data about somebody else for free and can do things with it that they consider valuable. And there are people who don't want them to have that data. And I'm not sure by coming up with this detailed list, we're really I'm just not sure where we're getting.
Well, the purpose of the list is just to find, to do some outreach so that when we develop the questions as to needs and justifications for why they need access to this information, we make sure we cover as broad of a community as we can. I mean, it's not, you know, you may be right as to the answers that they're going to give, but I still think we need to ask them the questions and get the answers.
Okay, but again, I don't see any distinction in this regard between a Ben Edelman and an anti-piracy group or a stalker in certain respects. You know, there's just, they're people who want the data and think they need it.
Right, but our job is going to be to delineate the non-marketing groups, to state what their needs are and their justifications, and then to write a report based on that. So, I mean, in the end, we may agree, we may disagree, but we still need to collect all the information, right? So that the point of this is just to help us collect the information.
Okay, so we're just making a list.
Right, we're just making a list, and then there's the group one, the subgroup one, who consists, I think you're on that list, I'm just going to the minutes. We have, David, Ferris, Milton, Paul, and Barbara are going to be helping to draft the note with questions to these groups. And they're gonna send it to the whole list for our comment on it, but they're the ones that are going to start with the first draft.
Another thing I thought was interesting about the Edelman response is that, again, we can expect a lot of this. Every group thinks that there should be special exceptions for them. In other words, Edelman wants, special status. He wants subsidized access to the information. And, again, we're asking for that, so we should expect, basically, that's what we're going to get. And I sure hope that this task force doesn't turn into a accreditation agency for the legitimacy of various kinds of research.
Well, that's not the intent, but let's collect the information and see what happens. But I do think one of the important, I mean, Edelman raises some good points and hopefully ones which you can, I think, use to draft your objective questions to ask people. I mean, I have a number of my own personal thoughts with respect to Edelman's note, but that's neither here nor there. But if it helps you draft some questions to ask people, then that would be great. And okay, so going on with those groups or those dates, is there anybody else? Oh, I'm sorry, there's Paul. We haven't finished with Paul's email yet. So Paul set forth a whole bunch of groups, some of them overlapping, and then Paul also drafted an initial set of questions, which Paul, have you been able to? You should probably send those around to your subgroup.
Yeah, I didn't know their emails or anything, and I couldn't have access to the list, so I just thought I would just put it all in one email. But yeah, you're right.
Okay, but I think that's a good start with those questions. Any other? I still want to get to. There's still some other. One of the things that there's a lack of in this list is a lack of non-United States, at least as far as I can tell, groups. And so I didn't know. I thought Marilyn, I got to get in touch with her because she said she could do some outreach to some international organizations. Does anybody else have any good contacts with international organizations to find out?
I mean, we're based in London, but primarily from the IP side of things, most of the organizations of this type are U.S.-based. That's why kind of the list that John and I submitted was fairly kind of U.S. biased. It's not through choice, it's just that's the way that it is currently. I mean, it is changing slowly, but the people that are in the market at the moment are nowhere near as advanced as the current U.S. offerings. I mean, that might change in 6 months, but currently they're nowhere near as advanced or as popular as the people we've got on that list.
Okay. Well, one of the other areas that we haven't covered with these lists are the law enforcement groups, and I think when we look over the materials, you know, when Barbara sends us the links, we'll get some law enforcement agencies that we will be able to contact. I think someone had volunteered on the last call to send around the OECD reports. But if not, Barbara, they may be in your materials too.
I'm not sure that they are in my materials, but I think it was Marilyn who said that she, or Sarah, who said that they would look at doing that.
Yeah, so we got to make sure we have the OECD materials sent around to the group, and some of the other law enforcement agencies' materials, and then try to reach out to those groups as well to send this questionnaire to. So why don't we, let's see what we have by the end of the day. We may end up extending this deadline to submit names of groups a little bit longer, but I think we got a good starting point, and I'll send around the combined list of all the groups into one list, and then hopefully we'll be able to think of some others. So even though today was a deadline, if you can think of any other groups, please submit them.
Yeah, Jeff, when you said groups originally, I thought you meant sort of categories of actors like consumers, educators, researchers, but actually you mean specific organizations that have specific services, is that right?
Right. Not necessarily services, but who have some sort of use of the data, right? So I don't know if you'd call an academic a service, but I'll leave that to you.
Well, I did make an inquiry to the Consumers Union and some other consumer groups, and basically it's off their radar screen, the whole issue.
Really?
Yeah. They don't even fundamentally know what I'm asking them.
Are there any, if someone could look through maybe past attendance at, maybe the FTC contact will know some of these groups.
Well, they'll know the groups, but...
Or people at those groups that are...
Maybe they would know people who have been following the issue, but...
Right, who may be willing to draft responses on behalf of that organization.
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't we just continue on with getting these lists. Hopefully I'll get some more responses. I'll call Marilyn, hopefully get some responses from her. We'll just keep developing this list. The next deadline that we have is for a... Yes.
Can you send compile the list together, whatever you got now, and send that around? That might trigger thoughts in the rest of us to add to it.
Yep, that's on my agenda, and I'll try to send it around by the end of this week.
Okay.
So, Paul, I don't know if you want to send out a note to the registrars. Maybe they can think of some others.
Okay, I will do that.
I'll send a note around to the registries. If everyone could send around notes to their constituency, maybe to help, they might be able to think of some other groups that you may have not have, if you haven't already sent around a note to your groups. Again, this is really just when you send the note around, it's really to find groups that you could do outreach to answer the questions that we are able to come up with based on our specific subject. So what we want to do is by the 5th is to have a draft of the questions, and Paul has gotten a start on that. So, Paul, if you could, if you get a copy of the minutes, and I think they're posted on the website, you'll see the three other people that are on this list with you.
Right. It's Milton, David, and Barbara.
Right. And then Barbara, I think, is just roseman@icann.org.
That's correct.
Milton?
I'm Mueller@syr.edu. M-U-E-L-L-E-R.
And David, I should have, let's see, he's not on the call, but I think I have his email address is D-F-A-R-E-S.
Say that again, D-F?
A-R-E-S.
Okay.
At U-S... C-I-B as in boy, .org. And then if you guys, y'all can start on that process and hopefully send the note around to the group on the 5th, and we'll talk about those questions on the 6th at our meeting on the 6th. The other thing for the 6th is the other group is to be working on a first draft of the needs and justifications from the pre-existing data. So if, excuse me, a voice crack. So hopefully Barbara can get that list of links out pretty soon. and y'all can start on that chart. And if you have any questions, just let me know. But basically, the chart we had talked about is to just, you know, draft, you know, the name of the group or whoever had made that statement, and the representative group, and then the needs and justifications that they have stated for, again, need for who is data in general. And if they have made any kind of statement on the need for port 43 or bulk access or anything like that. Because remember, one of the things that we're going to look at is the needs and justifications of the groups, but also whether they need to, whether they use the web-based Whois, whether they use the port 43, and if they use port 43, if they could use a web-based, you know, if port 43 went away, not saying it will or that that's our position, but if it went away, could they achieve the same things by using the web-based Whois? All right, so I'm thinking because it's the new year and most people are on holiday for next week to cancel next Tuesday's meeting. Does anybody think we shouldn't cancel the meeting? All right, so the next meeting will be on January 6th on Tuesday, same time. And if the subgroups can start working with each other on these, and if you want to CC me on these, communications going to the subgroups, feel free. And again, on the 6th, we're going to also do some more brainstorming on these charts and just from the materials from the workshop.
I have a question. At the end of this whole process, do we actually just provide information to GNSO Council, or do we actually battle it out and come up with a recommendation?
Well, I mean, I think, let me start with the first question. The ultimate goal is to present a recommendation to the council. And so the answer to your second part is yes, we, you know, if we can come up with a consensus position on this, we should. If we can't, then we just present our views to the council and they'll duke it out, if you will, at that level. But our number one goal is to collect all the information that we can and then to try to develop recommendations based on that information that we get.
Dare we use the word consensus recommendation?
Well, we should try and see what we end up with. I know I'm not going into this process with any preconceived notions, so let's see the information we get.
I think that makes sense. I think it'll be really interesting to see the responses, and I think it'll give us all a lot of good insight, I think.
Exactly. The other thing that we need to also look into, I'm sorry, is that we haven't addressed yet, is the second question of our task force, which was to find out what means are out there, and I guess it's part of our questionnaire, but we still also need to look at if there's what means, technical means are out there for that in theory registries and registrars could use to prevent data mining, assuming port 43 is kept open or assuming that there is a web-based Whois, which I think, you know, we need to find out what kind of technological means are out there to prevent data mining and also the feasibility of those and what kind of costs those would add to the registries and registrars if they were to implement those.
I had a list of that too in my email. I just did a quick brain dump. It's not, you know, exhaustive or anything, but just whatever came to the top of my head on that area, I wrote on that list.
Right, this is the list at the end?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then we need to, you actually put in an article out there? Okay.
Yeah, there was an article in Scientific America I mentioned on the last call, and you said, hey, can you put a link in there?
Yep.
If you remember that, but so that was the article that I mentioned on the last call.
Great. And, and if you want to send that kind of thing to the registrars as well, I know Rick Wesson was working on some product, and you know, you never know what else the registrars have come out with to. I don't know. At Enom, do you guys have any kind of thing running to, you know, other than load balancers, anything to help you guys out?
We do, and I have some of that on the list. And, you know, because registrars need to get the WHOIS information for transfers, we know what all the other registrars are doing because we need to get their information to do a transfer. So, you know, we're on both sides of it, I guess. You could think of it that way. We need to get the WHOIS information, and we need to limit our mining. So I try to put all the ideas that either Enom's using or I know that other registrars are using on that list, but I don't think it's exhaustive. And if anybody has anything that we're not even, maybe somebody's not doing something now that might make sense, you know? I don't know. I just did a brain dump. I hope, you know, nobody take offense or anything by what I said there. And Enom's doing some of those, and Enom's not doing some of those.
Okay.
I can tell you what Enom's doing.
I think that the information you provide also is a good basis to ask some questions to maybe, if we can find out some other groups that may have port 43 access that may have their own mechanisms in there to prevent their own data mining.
I think it's obvious that most registrars are on the web-based, you know, port 80 WHOIS, are you know, either doing a GIF output or doing that thing where you have to type in some stuff to prove that you're a human to get to the output.
Right, and I've heard some stories recently that too has been, that there are some computers that can now get around that as well.
Right, that's what that article's about. That article's about, because that article, the Scientific American article, is really about the arms race going on in that area. You're right that, you know, there are ways of getting around that.
I've seen demonstrations of some programs to get around it.
And I purposely didn't put the pluses and minuses on my list. You know, there's negatives to that because, you know, sight impaired people might have difficulty typing in that thing, or, you know, there's pluses and minuses on every single one of those things, those methods. And so I didn't put my opinions on the pluses and minuses. I just tried to state them as best as I could, the ones that I know about.
Oh, good. And then I think eventually, though, the report will need to go into the pluses and minuses of each of those.
Exactly. I agree with that.
And I know Wendy's pointed out some pluses or some, well, at least some minuses on those as well.
Jeff, can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it was very interesting, this business of an arms race, and some of the, you know, since I don't run a registrar or a registry, it's not entirely clear to me, although I have an abstract notion of what the problem is here. As we discussed in another email, Jeff, it's one thing we don't seem to be documenting here is the impact on the systems of the registrars and registries. Is there any way to get some basic data on, you know, how serious a problem this is? People talk about their systems being pounded. You know, what kind of the services that we will be making a list of needs and justifications, can we correlate that in any way to the traffic, to the usage volume that is being imposed on the registrars or the registries?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. No,
I am collecting some data, and I can make that available.
Yeah, and initially I thought that was part of the constituency statements, but I think you're right. I think we need it as like separate questions as well, just to those registries and the registrars.
I think the mining issue is not just about registrars and registries, you know, because a lot of the registries, for example, .org, let's say, you know, on Enom's website, via port 80, I have this GIF output thing that helps, in our opinion, to prevent mining there, right? But the registry doesn't. So I doubt if I'm getting pounded because anyone could just go to the registry and get that information. So my data, it's going to be hard to,
Yeah, and I've got
hard to tell whether where the mining is really happening. That's one point. The other, there's a lot of points there, but
yeah, no, I think, but Paul, if your group could help draft some questions that we can send to the registries and the registrars.
Yeah, I think that's the whole purpose.
Yeah, this is David Maher, right? I think we might have some information on that. I'll have to check with Bruce Beckwith, but if you're going to circulate questions, I'll certainly take it up, see what we can do.
That's cool. Also, the mining thing, I do believe that our systems get pounded from, certain IPs and whatever, and I'll be able to, I'm collecting all that and I'll share that. But even if it's not pounded and our systems aren't under a real heavy load, try to prevent the mining anyway, because we believe that spammers get email addresses that way. And, even if it's just one query to our who is, they could then, after they have the emails, they could then send, pound that email address, basically, with spam. So that's another reason why Enum is trying to prevent, who is mining. And just by looking at the number of people who are signing up for our ID Protect, and it's public information. I'm sure Ben Endelman could go to GoDaddy's Who Is output and find out how many people are using, what percent. I know we did, but
he couldn't if he were prohibited from using the bulk access.
I don't think he is, but that's a separate subject. If Enum could do it.
No, I meant if the restrictions were put in place, he would no longer be able to do that kind of research. That's precisely my concern.
I hear what you're saying, and that's a different subject. But in my opinion, I talk about that later. But what I was trying to get to was the demand for Who Is by Proxy services, like Who Is by Proxy and ID Protect, is pretty heavy. And you could get that information by looking up GoDaddy's names and finding out how many of them have this Who Is information on it versus how many don't. And I bet you it's a pretty high percentage.
If I could just, for 2 seconds, elaborate. I thought there was a distinction between the roles of Task Force 1 and 2, and I am wholly supportive of the domains by proxy and means for people to take their information out of public display, or even, I would say, to avoid putting it into the WHOIS database in the first place. But I think it's a wholly separate problem of whether the information that's made public should be publicly available to all or only to some. And that's the problem that it seems this task force is addressing.
Yeah, I think what we need to do here is focus on, assume that WHOIS consists of X data, whatever that is, and assume that that data must be made publicly available. Then the question is, how can we prevent data mining? Forget what that data is. Forget the accuracy of that data. Forget all of that. Just assume that there's a subset of data that has to be displayed and that we have to figure out ways to display that data, to make that data available, and to prevent data mining.
I guess,
but
why are we acting to prevent data mining of that? If I can ask a really basic, stupid question.
That's the thing is, they're saying, let's just let the mining happen. Why are we trying to prevent data mining? And what I was trying to say was, there's a motivation for it. That's why I think the issues are linked.
Yeah,
I think it's fully separate. I think there is a demand out there to prevent people, whatever way is possible. It's more than one way, I think, is what.
Right, right. And so I think they are linked. Let's see the information that we get. But certainly, to the registries and registrars, we want to know, to the data that they have as far as being hit with these requests and the impact it's taking on the registries and the registrars. Not necessarily, but, I guess we have to collect that data. And then see what we can do. You know, if it is a problem, I mean, if registries and registrars come back and say it's not a problem, let it happen, you know, then we may have a different recommendation. But we need to see what those answers are. We can't. Yeah, so there is a little overlap.
Just to like return to the tasks and milestones of our of this task force, it's really pretty basic to collect the stated needs and justifications from those who have non-marketing uses of contact information, and review general approaches to prevent automated electronic data mining, but ensure that requirements for access are met, including accessibility requirements for those like that are visually impaired, and determine whether any changes are required in the contracts to allow the approaches to be used that are outlined above. And so we're not asked in this group to look at, you know, we're asked to look at what kinds of groups outside of marketing people access the information, and what are some ways to prevent automated data mining of whatever information is displayed, and then to determine whether any changes are needed in the contracts to implement those practices of preventing automated data mining. So I think we do need to be careful about getting into discussions about the worthiness of why people are accessing this data, if it's, you know, as long as they demonstrate that it's not for marketing purposes, and what data exactly they need to have accessible to them. Those are other groups looking at that.
Well, I think the one thing that there's no group looking at, this is my own opinion, is maybe there is another group, but how to differentiate between those uses? Because it's one thing to present a task force report that says these are the non-marketing needs and justifications, these are the technical means to prevent data mining. But then there's still a very big missing question.
Yeah, which is, are these needs and justifications worthy of keeping in place? I get that that's sort of the underlying question here. But I think that you're right. There's no single task force that's looking at that. I think that's a council question.
Well, that's one. But then there's the second one I was thinking of, aside from that question, was, is there a technical means for differentiating between marketing and non-marketing uses? And to the extent that we get technical means out there, we need to solicit information, the pluses and minuses about those, to see whether they can actually differentiate between marketing and non-marketing uses, because that is essential, at least in my opinion, in order to see what changes are needed in the contract.
Yeah, that's the key issue, Jeff. I mean, I'm quite sure that there will not be any distinctions in certain techniques between marketing and non-marketing uses in terms of technical access. So if you really are going to stop the marketing uses, then you're going to be stopping other kinds of uses. And that's a key problem that we have to deal with.
I think it would come down to trust, that we have to know the people who have the access. I don't know if I'm stating this right, and that's how we would differentiate them from the marketers.
Right, but so, okay, but those are conclusions, but what we need to is when we find out about the technical means, we need to be asking the questions, well, the technical means that now exist, do they take into account these things? And we need to get that information, because without that information, the council can't make any kind of informed decision. Because when you're saying what technical means are out there, you're implicitly saying what are those technical means and what do they take into consideration and what don't they take into consideration.
So, Jeff, wouldn't it make more sense, rather than having a list of users and their needs, would it not make sense to identify the different technical means of accessing WHOIS data and then identify which ones marketing uses are using, and then figure out how to put an end to those.
Well, we need to do both, because the first milestone of the task force was to develop the list of needs and list of non-marketing needs and justifications for those needs.
And to include their accessibility requirements, like how do they access that data?
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the first part. But you're right for the second part, that's what the second part needs to include is what you were talking about.
Okay.
All right, so with that in mind, let's try to finish this list of groups, and then, Paul, if you can keep those ideas in mind when you're developing questions for milestone in 1 and 2, if you're a group.
Yeah, and I'll send a question to my constituency saying, can you contribute to these lists anyway?
Right, and make sure when you get responses, because I know the registrars, just as our registries, are kind of emotional when they're responding to this issue, make sure they know that we don't have any preconceived judgments and that we're really just collecting.
All they want is the name of the entity that you think is getting WHOIS information, and that basically that's it.
Name and maybe if contact information if they've got it.
There you go.
Yeah. And if they ask why, that's just one of our mandates is to collect that information. All right, so our next call is going to be January 6th, same time, but let's keep on email and any other questions? Everybody have a wonderful holiday season and a Happy New Year.
You.
See y'all soon.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Barbara. Bye.